नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we are continuing the Srimad Bhagavatam, the seventh canto, chapter 15, and text 28. Sadvarga samyamaikanta sarvaniyamat chodana tadanta yadi no yogan avaheyu shamabuha sadvarga samyamaikanta sarvaniyama chodana tadanta jadino yogan avaheyu shamavaha. Sadvarga samyamaikanta Ladies, can you see anyone? Can't see it? Too far away. One more time. Sadvarga samyamaikanta sarvaniyamachodana taranta yadino yogan avaheyu shamabaha. Satvarga, the six elements, namely the five working senses and the mind. Samyamaikanta, the ultimate aim of subjugating. Sarvaha, all such activities. Niyamachodana, the regulative principles further meant for controlling the senses and mind. Tadanta, the ultimate goal of such activities. Yadi, if no, not. Yogan, the positive link with the Supreme. Abhayu, did lead to. Shrama Abhaha, a waste of time and labor. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Ritualistic ceremonies, regulative principles, austerities, and the practice of yoga are all meant to control the senses and mind. But even after one is able to to control the senses and mind, if he does not come to the point of meditation upon the Supreme Lord, all such activities are simply labor in frustration. Purport. One may argue that one may achieve the ultimate goal of life, realization of the super soul, by practicing the yoga system and ritualistic performances according to the Vedic principles, even without staunch devotion to the spiritual master. The actual fact, however, is that by practicing yoga, one must come to the platform of meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in the scriptures, Dhyana vastita tad gatena manasa pasyantiyam yoginaha. A person in meditation achieves the perfection of yoga practice when he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By various practices, one may come to the point of controlling the senses. But simply controlling the senses does not bring one to a substantial conclusion. However, by staunch faith in the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one not only controls the senses, but also realizes the Supreme Lord. Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata guru tasyaiti katita hyarta prakashante mahatmanah. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of the Vedic knowledge automatically revealed from the Svetashvatara Upanishad 6.23. It is further stated, Tushyayam sarvabhutatman guru shusru shaya and tarantyanja bhavarnavam. Simply by rendering service to the spiritual master, one crosses the ocean of nescience and returns home back to Godhead. Thus, he gradually sees the Supreme Lord face to face and enjoys life in association with the Lord. The ultimate goal of yoga is to come in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless this point is achieved, one's so-called yoga practice is simply labor without any benefit. Om Agyanatam Randasya Agyananjanaya Shalakaya Chukchamirudham Dhinatasma Sri Gurubhaya Namaha Gam Kuru Divachalam Bangalayam Gatri Patamahum Vande Sri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanishram. Hare Krishna. This verse ends Shramavaha. Shramavaha. Shrama. Shrama is our labor, our work. Parishram, very intense work. In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, this word is also used. In, I don't remember the number of the verse, Dharma, Svanastita, Pumsham, Vishrakshena, Katasuyaha. Yat not padiyed jadi ratin srama eva hi kevalam. So this theme is being returned to here. That Dharma Svanishtitak Pum Sham. That Dharma, or what to speak of Dharma, even Yoga. If not padiyat yadi ritim, if it does not induce rati, it doesn't induce attraction for the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if it doesn't bring forth love, then it is srama eva, only just labor. Kevalam. It is only the srama. All you get is the benefit is that you worked. Now for some people that's all they really know. My father, in fact, very hard worker. He was a scientist. And he used to tell us that his motto in life precept was, work is the only reliable pleasure. Every other kind of pleasure that you seek after, it will come and go. But you always got work. And if you are fortunate to enjoy the work that you do, then you can say that, well, I have my work. I enjoy working. So for some people, that's sufficient. But of course, that work will also go with the death of the body. My father tried. He had cancer. And he tried to keep working until practically the last week, although he was 85 years old. On his bed, he would invite his colleagues and they would discuss experiments in the laboratory and so on. But when he couldn't do that, he just watched television. He didn't really have anything else to do. Fortunately, I was there when he passed and he could hear the holy name, But that was not the result of... I guess he was open. That was his benefit. When I was reading this, I thought of a yogi. We were in Kumbh Mela. How many of you here have been to Kumbh Mela? The showcase of yogis. Next to our camp. Were you there, Radhakrishna? Yeah. You remember next to our camp, last year there was a yogi who would sit on a nail bed, and then they would light a fire underneath him. It was an iron nail bed, and then they lit some sort of a fire, and he's sitting there. But the one that really impressed me was Pilot Baba. How many here have heard of Pilot Baba? Okay, good. You have? Oh, no. Anyway, so he had a very, very elaborate place, and he had a lot of followers from Japan, I think. So one devotee took us and he said, well, I'll get you to meet Pilot Baba. We're going to meet Pilot Baba. Anyway, Pilot Baba wasn't there, but so we didn't meet him. But we heard his story. Apparently he was a pilot in the Indian Air Force and he was driving, he was flying his jet plane at, you know, Mach 1.4, really fast. He was going and all of a sudden he has an epiphany. What am I doing? What's the meaning of this? What's the purpose of life? Why am I doing any of this? And he lands and he gets off and he walks off and he says, I'm going to pursue the self. So he becomes a great yogi. He practiced such severe yogic practices that he could control his mind and senses, because this is what we're talking about here. Controlling the mind and senses. When I was meditating on this class, I was thinking about, well, you know, to control the senses, all right, you can restrict yourself and so on. But controlling the mind, that's not so easy. And there's a relationship because the senses pull the mind, right? The mind follows the senses. And if you try to control the senses in a austere way, like I try every morning to sit down nicely, you know, practice, you know, sitting down and so on. The first problem is to pay attention to my chanting of the holy name. That mind is a problem. But then even the other senses start to bother. You know, the eyes tend to want to go here and there. There's some sound that attracts. And then finally, there's the ache in the leg. You know? Right? I mean, the leg starts to ache and you've got to move it. Anyway, Pilate Baba, he really controlled. He controlled to such an extent that he buried himself under the ground and meditated for, I don't know, a week, 10 days, a long time. I can't remember how long it was. And they had observers, you know, just to make sure that he wasn't cheating. Although some people say that he was cheating. Anyway, so he did all this. He was a powerful yogi. But there was no love of Krishna. He didn't get love of Krishna, at least that we could see any sign of. You know, I didn't meet him to ask, but at least he was not preaching love of Krishna. So he got that. He got the benefit of being a great yogi, getting honor, getting fame, and finally getting death. That's the end result. We die. The bodies die. And all that work, all that life, all that shrama ends up as being what? It adds up to what? Shrama. That's it. It adds up to labor only. No result for our ultimate need, our ultimate want. What do we ultimately want? The process of Krishna consciousness is a process of discovering what we actually want. We are conditioned by our existence in this body to think that the desires of the senses, the desires of the mind, are our own desires. Because we have identified with this, with our bodies, with our minds, with the personalities that we have. We think that those things that the senses want, that our minds want, that these are our desires. But they are actually just the mechanical functioning of this material world going on under three modes of material nature, just moving about. And we're just going along. So at the end, we've not even touched our true nature as we just follow this material world. Prabhupada also speaks here about those who think that, well, I can make advancement. I can go spiritually
make a spiritual path. By yoga, by studying shastras, by intellectual work, by good deeds, by karma, I can advance myself spiritually. But I don't need guru. I don't need guru in this process. But perhaps I can have a guru for some time, you know, learn a little bit, and then go on. There is a school of spiritualists in this world who think like this, that I can Hare Krishna Jai Shri Shri Gauranga. They take the help of guru in the beginning. They compare it to, I think the comparison is to like to a ladder. That the guru is like a ladder. The teacher is your ladder. Okay, you climb the ladder, you get to the top, and then you're there. And guru is no longer needed. Guru is done the job. And you go on. Now you are self-realized. There are those who think like this. Srila Prabhupada explains here that even though one may argue this by practicing the yoga system and ritualistic performances according to Vedic principles, even without staunch devotion to the spiritual master, one may argue that I can get the ultimate goal of life. But Prabhupada says no. No. If you try in this way, what do you end up with? You end up with Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. On the other hand, the scriptures tell us, Yasya Deve Prabhaktir Yata Deve Tata Guru, that when there is faith in Krishna and Guru, these are together. One may ask, well, I have faith in Krishna. Why is that not enough? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, and He's God. If I have faith in God, and I follow God's directions to think of Him, what does He say? Manmana bhava mad bhakta. Madhyaj imam namaskuru. He tells us what to do already. It's pretty clear, isn't it? What Krishna asks us to do. Krishna has already, He Himself has spoken. He has spoken the Bhagavad Gita. What do I need anything more? Krishna has given me everything I need. Why do I need a guru? Does that thought ever cross your mind? Anyone ever thought like this? Okay, you're all pure devotees, so I can't ask this. But I imagine in some other audience, someone may have said, yes, yeah, I thought, why do I need a guru? You are all too advanced, so. But I can say, I have thought of it. I have thought, well, you know, why do I really need a guru? I mean, having a guru is not easy. Especially when maybe you don't understand something that your guru says. And you think that, well, I'm supposed to accept this from my guru just as God. I mean, I can accept God. I have faith in God. God is God. He's perfect. But another human being like me, how can I have such faith? And yet Krishna says, scriptures say one has to have faith in both Krishna and Guru. How does this work? The fact is that Krishna requires us. God Himself, He requires us, He asks us, He tells us. In the very beginning of the Gita, you can't just say, well, I can just, well, Krishna says, He tells us what to do in the Gita, but the first thing that He tells us to do is what? Who knows the verse I'm speaking of? Someone must know. Tadvidhi panipatena padiprasnena sevanam. The first thing He tells us to do, you can say, well, I can just accept Krishna. Why do I have to have a guru? But the first thing that Krishna says is get a guru. Surrender to the guru. In two ways. Through inquiry to submission and through service. Through service. You may think, well, I can hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. I can hear Krishna's words directly from Krishna through His recorded words. They're there. We can extend that a little bit. And I hope I'm not entering into little vague territory here, but some people say that we have Srila Prabhupada. They say, yes, okay, I need a guru. I accept. But why do I need anyone else but Srila Prabhupada? I can simply surrender to Him. So let's begin. First of all, we accept. Okay, Krishna, you say, we have to accept Guru. And why? What do we do with Guru? We make inquiries and we serve. And what happens? Or what should happen is we develop faith. Faith arises. To develop faith in Krishna and Guru, to develop faith in Krishna without Guru, is very difficult. Faith develops by hearing the words of Krishna. We can intellectually, we can absorb it, we can make sense. But unless we see the philosophy of Krishna's words, we see His instructions, we see the result of following Krishna's words in action, in practice, in reality, then it is very difficult to really awaken faith. It's very difficult to have faith in something that is so theoretical. It's when we see it. If Srila Prabhupada had come to America and spoke the Bhagavad Gita as well as he did, and then went off and played pool or something, no one would have cared. And in fact, that's what has happened in the West. I mean, there were people. They came, they spoke Bhagavad Gita, they did yoga things, and then they went off and, you know, had girlfriends or whatever they did. And thus, no one became devotees of Krishna. But when these young men and women of the 60s heard the Bhagavad Gita, heard the instructions of Krishna from a pure devotee, one who was living it, and not only living it, experiencing it, and it was so present. His love, his ecstasy, his kindness, his qualities of compassion and love and fun. They're a devotee. I know one of my god brothers. In fact, he perhaps has had some difficulty because his relationship with Srila Prabhupada was one adventure after another. It was just from one adventure to another adventure and that's the kind of person he was. He loved adventure. And Srila Prabhupada was also in the mood. He also had adventure in his life. He took on challenges. He had a full, rich, rich life. With Krishna, always, always, always in the center of everything that he was doing. Here's the example. We can see this. And when we see it, we see the devotee. Then our faith becomes strong that yes, by following this person, I can also go and come to where that person is. That person will take me there. So both are needed. If we have a little faith in God, that God exists to begin with, I mean, that's the first step. If we have a little faith that there is God, that we're not just the product of chance, that there's some purpose, there's some meaning to existence. If we have that little faith, then what happens? Atah Shraddha. Then next step, we have to do Sadhu Sangha. Atah Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Tatha Bhajana Kriya. This is the progression. So Krishna, by the grace of Krishna and Guru, Brahmanda Brahmiti Kona Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. By the grace of Guru and Krishna, Krishna within the hearts. I believe many of you will be attending a seminar by His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu later. Maybe you'll also go out and you'll be meeting people. And you all can remember that Krishna is in their hearts, just as He is in our hearts. And by His grace and by Guru's grace, because without Guru you would not be going out. You wouldn't be out there. If Srila Prabhupada had not given us this service to distribute knowledge of Krishna, how many of us would be doing that? I don't think any of us would be. We would be working or doing something. But by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, because He has given us this service, so by His grace, by Guru's grace, and by Krishna's grace within the heart of all living entities, somehow those souls out there will meet you. They are Brahmanda Brahmeti. They're wandering, as we have been. Just wandering in this world. Brahmandamrineti kona bhagyavan jeev. By some fortune, by some bhagyavan, Krishna in our hearts brought us into contact with Guru or his representative. And in that way, we got the seed, the bhakti lata bij, the seed of bhakti lata, the shraddha, that seed of faith, that shraddha bindu that has come into us. And what is the next thing? Sadhu sangha. By that faith, we seek the association of people who have that faith, who manifest that faith, who are living it. And they are our gurus. So faith in guru is not only faith in one particular special guru in our lives. Like Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is all of our Shiksha Guru. And one may think, that's all I need. I don't need anyone else. But that's not what Srila Prabhupada says. That's not what our Acharyas say. That's not what our Gurus say. That's not what Krishna says. Atashada sadhu sangha. We need all the sadhus. We need all the Vaishnavas. We need all of our gurus to progress on this path. This path is a path of surrender. It's a path of developing our humility. It's a path of Trinada pi sunichena tororiva sasishna amanina manadina kirtanaya sadahari. To develop that mood of surrender, of service, of humility, thinking that all we need is Srila Prabhupada and we can ignore the devotees. We'll never manifest that mood. Rather, amanina manadina, we have to see everyone with respect. And we have to seek out that association with those advanced devotees. We have to be friends with our fellow devotees. We have to be compassionate with everyone else. This is called the Madhyam Adhikari platform. We have to aspire to this. And we have to see our gurus, see Srila Prabhupada, see our Diksha gurus within the society of the devotees and know that ultimately it is Krishna in our hearts and in the hearts of all who is instructing us through the medium of guru. Through the medium of guru, Krishna gives us what he wants to give us. So Krishna, we coming back to the point that if you think that, well, Krishna is there, why do I need a guru? Because Krishna wants to give you what he wants to give you through guru. That's how he wants to give his love to you. That's how he wants to awaken you. That's his program. You cannot demand from Krishna that, oh Krishna, why do I need to serve someone else? You just give me your service. I'm ready. I'll do everything. Just tell me what to do. Okay, I'll tell you what to do. Serve the Vaishnavas. Serve the Guru. No. Wait. No, I said, I want to serve you. Okay. You want to serve me? Okay.
do what I tell you. Serve the Vaishnavas. Serve the Guru. No. Reminds me of a... It's a little different. It's not the same mood at all. But the story of Goridas Pandit, I think, and Gornitai. Little different story. But it there's some relationship. I think I may make some mistakes, so anyone, please correct me. But so Goridas Pandit is in Kalna, right? I mean, am I getting it right? Yeah. So he's in Kalna, near Navadvip, and Gornitai are visiting with him, and he's just completely just. He's in heaven. I mean, he's just completely just in full ecstasy serving Gornitai. But they're leaving and going on to Puri, I think. And Goridas says, No, you can't leave, you can't leave, you can't leave. And they say, okay. We'll stay. Here we are. And they make these deities of Gornitai. Here we are. We'll stay here with you. And Goridas says, No, I mean you. And then they say, okay. And then they enter into the deity. And the deities become Gornitai, in walking form. And they start walking out. They said, no. And then, you. And this goes on for 20 times or something like that. Until finally Goridas Pandit says, okay, I understand. You are present. So we also may struggle with the idea that to serve Krishna, we must serve the devotees. It is his order. And there's no difference. When we serve the devotees, we are serving the Supreme Lord directly. He is receiving that service. And he is reciprocating. He's reciprocating through the hearts of our gurus. He is giving us everything we need. So, that way, by having this faith that Krishna directly and Krishna through Guru will give us everything we need. Everything. Every step of the way. With that faith, everything is revealed. All the truths of the Vedas, all the pathways we must take, which sometimes becomes a little difficult in our lives. We find ourselves at crossroads sometimes, not really knowing which way to go. But with faith in Krishna and Guru, that Guru is there, Guru will guide us to the right path. And we will all go home. We'll all go home back to Godhead, to Sri Krishna. Hare Krishna. So we have a little time, I think, for comments, reflections, questions. Anything? Anyone want to share? Yes, Devakananda Prabhu. Is there a microphone?
I was thinking about the Guru and Krishna, how they, work. to give the devotion. I just thought of one example. Like the firewood, this season, winter season in North India, the firewood has fire inside. But just by touching the firewood, you will not get the heat. So you have to bring fire from outside to touch that wood, to burn that wood. And then fire from within will come out. Then you get the heat. Same way, Krishna is there in our heart. He's there in our heart, but he's just not manifesting. You have to have a guru who, you know, comes in your life, like the fire from outside, comes in your life, and, you know, he brings the connection between Krishna and us, and that devotion comes out. Guru Krishna Prasad Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. The devotion manifests by the touch of the Guru. So Krishna is there. Same as just like the fire from outside touching the wood, it brings the heat. So I just thought.
Nice analogy. So everyone heard the analogy that he just gave about the firewood and fire? Because it was a little weak. I'll just repeat it in case you didn't hear. That if there's firewood, then you touch it, it's still just wood. But the potent, the fire is within. You have to bring fire from outside. So similarly, to bring out the fire within the wood. So to bring out, to awaken our Krishna path, our Krishna consciousness, we need from outside Krishna to come. And he comes through Guru. Very nice. Very nice. I like that analogy. It's a very nice analogy. So, are there any other reflections, comments, questions? Otherwise, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada.